Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Dennis Shaw is here. Dennis is a new friend. He is Chief Executive Officer at the Community Financial Services Association of America. And he's in his past, he's a Rhodes Scholar. He's an attorney. He spent a number of years as a professional staffer in Congress and working for Barney Frank, as I remember.
That's right.
He's here to talk to us about an industry that you know a little bit about, but you might not have thought much about. Dennis Shaw, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Pleasure to be on. Appreciate it.
It's good to have you here. Okay, so I grew up at a time when we had little household finance and
right.
and four
that
or five different little companies.
Yep.
There you go. They were around the neighborhoods, and people could go in there and borrow money for a car or for some furniture. Regular folks that might not have a good relationship with a bank necessarily. Even back in the day, Dennis, when a bank would make you a retail loan, a community bank would make a retail loan, you could go to these little finance houses, and the interest was high. My family were blue collar folks. My parents used those small finance companies to buy different things when we needed some credit, and because I remember going into those with my dad. I don't remember going into a bank with my dad to borrow money, and so they were a part of our lives as, you know, blue-collar union household, you know. And now that industry's changed a little bit, hasn't it? It looks a little bit different.
Well, completely. The sort of final blow to that kind of lending in that fashion was the last really big economic downturn. And that reflected the fact that mm-hmm. some of those entities had been involved in the mortgage market as well and didn't come out of that mortgage
right.
market very well.
They didn't stick to their knitting, did they?
No, that's an habitual problem in small business. Everybody wants to grow, but the way in which you grow is awfully important, and sometimes too much of diversification or not a thoughtful diversification really means you're going to fold the tent.
Or are wandering around in something you don't know much about, you know.
That's correct. Yeah.
Just because it's easy money, that can be dangerous too, and I think that's what happened. So what's happened since the financial downturn? How has that industry changed? All the while, Dennis, all the while, the customer was still needing help.
Well, that is precisely correct, and it's something that I think in another era would demand a lot of public attention. In other words, these surveys that we're seeing from the Federal Reserve and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation that state as a fact that some 40 million American families have trouble making ends meet or don't have enough wherewithal to put $500 together in an emergency reflect the fact that these are very tight times for a lot of people. And the fact is that mm-hmm. the credit options available to them are much slimmer than they used to be, reflecting the fact that banks have largely moved out of unsecured loans as a business. I saw a survey from the American Banker Association over the last 3 weeks that said it surveyed 99 banks and asked them the question of what forms of loans they give, and less than 1% gave a loan that was unsecured in the amount of $500 or under.
Right,
you have to
right.
be
It's not good financially for them. It's not profitable for them. Plus, they have the regulatory burden that one regulatory process on an unsecured loan like that can completely wipe out any profit margin.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I know you know this. Your audience may not be as cognizant of it, but after 9/11, compliance costs for banks have tripled. And so as they look at people coming through the door, they necessarily have to evaluate them in terms of whether or not that individual will become a profit center for the bank. And that eliminates many of the people who are most in need of a form of short-term, small-dollar credit.
So the way the industry has morphed is more in the form of what people would be familiar with as what they call payday loan organizations, right? Payday loan outlets.
Yep. There are two things to be said about that. First of all, your assumption is generally correct. Secondly, the payday loan market itself is changing and reforming, reflecting the fact that there is a greater need for consumer protection. Most of that change, I'm pleased to say, is coming from within the industry and within the states. But the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is a part of Dodd-Frank, has general oversight over payday loans, and that's a new feature here.
Mm-hmm. And this is this Mr. Cordray, who runs that. We've spoken about him and reported on his activity on this show before, Dennis. He's unelected and pretty much unencumbered by anybody else, isn't he? He can kind of do what he wants to do, can he?
You're right. And I don't think the public generally understands that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, is an agency virtually unlike any other. And it is the furthest extension of the modern bureaucratic entity, meaning that it gets its money from the Federal Reserve without any review by Congress. Its appropriation is an automatic percentage. The director himself is unencumbered by a commission or a panel. He is the final say. Congressional oversight is generally limited to his two appearances a year before Congress. And if you think about the history of administrative law, which really begins to take full sway with the coming of the New Deal, this is about as estranged from the doctrine of delegation of powers, which is meant to be a part of administrative law, as you can get.
Don't you think President Obama, with all his executive order power, would like to have Mr. Cordray's free reign? You could apply his charter to the executive branch. President Obama would be very happy, wouldn't he?
Completely. It's an unusual situation for sure. Yeah. I know Richard Cordray.
Hold on to that thought, Dennis.
Sure.
I'm going to take a quick break. Would you give us your website, please, of your organization?
Just one second, and I'll hand it to you. So if you go on, it's CFSAA, and you can get to that.
Is that .org? CFSAA.org?
Yes, .com.
Okay. .com. Okay, CFSAA.com. Check it out. Quick break, 20 after. We'll be right back with Dennis Shaw.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.